Episode 230, February 8th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
We're back with the full arsenal tonight, the chat room, Robbie Robinson, Marcus Serta, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Rob and Joe Show. Before the show, Robbie says, hey, guess how much I paid for gas today? You know, so we're all guessing, you know, low, reasonable numbers.
Right, 198, you know, 201, yeah. Right. Reasonable prices that you might see.
He says 58 cents. And the reason being... because he had giant reward card points. So some bullshit. The coupon doesn't count. It's not how much gas costs.
That's the equivalent of me saying, hey, guess how much I paid for lunch today? Nothing. Someone else bought it for me. Well, yeah, that's not the price of the food.
Yeah, how much do you think this shirt cost me? Nothing. I had a gift card. The point is no one can get gas at 57.9 cents. So Robbie.
But Robbie then took a picture in typical Robbie fashion of the pump that had the price on there.
When you took that picture, what were you planning on Facebooking it? What are you going
to
do with that?
I was going to send it to my girlfriend, but I thought it was funny to send it to you guys.
Only thing she can read is numbers. Yeah. Welcome to the show. A lot to talk about tonight. I guess we'll go over the Super Bowl quickly. But Robbie is on trial tonight, and he will have to deal with lead attorney representing the state, Scott Apple. We will talk about my amazingly hilarious weekend at the Richmond Funny Bone with Bert Kreischer. I got some good stories involving PCP, Jay Moore, Tracy Morgan, David Tell. We got Valentine's Day giveaway. We got some good stories to read for that for our shows this weekend. And Joe made out with a man. So that's the show this week. It's going to be a good one, I think.
I didn't make out with a man.
We'll get to it. Real quick, Super Bowl. I thought Lady Gaga was an A. The game was a C, although I was happy that Peyton won. The halftime show was good, I thought. The commercials, nothing really stood out to me.
I thought Lady Gaga, she was fine. I mean, you know, I think that people are like, oh, wow, she didn't wear a hula hoop with no bottom. So people are like, oh, it's very classy. And well, no, she still had, you know, basically glitter fingernail polish on her eyelids. You know, I mean, that was tasteful for her.
Yeah.
She's a great singer and she sang it well. It's no Marvin Gaye at the 1983 All-Star Game, but, you know, I mean, it was fine. And then the game I thought was much less than a C. I mean, I guess you like great defense, yes, but I don't know, man. When I see the Super Bowl, I don't like one team to be manhandled.
It was a sloppy game. Carolina looked, they kind of choked. They seemed like they're overwhelmed. But Von Miller was so amazing that, you know, that was an epic Super Bowl, all-time Super Bowl performance.
Yeah, but one thing I just wanted, and then we'll stop talking about it. People that say Peyton Manning can't win the big one, this was a perfect example of how stupid that is to say. Okay, right. First of all, he just had probably the worst game for any Super Bowl winning quarterback, and they still won. So that lets you know this is a team sport. I believe Peyton Manning is the best quarterback. I've never seen a better quarterback than him in my life.
I used to think that, but I feel like Brady has sort of eclipsed him in my mind over the last few years. But yeah, Peyton is top five, no doubt. I'm perturbed. Again, once again, Cam Newton has upset me because it's like, the post-game press conference, he answered like three questions, then he got up in the middle and left. I mean, that was clearly the wrong thing to do, and it's okay to criticize for that. It's not a big deal. It doesn't mean he's a horrible person, but I see people online acting like, what's he supposed to do, answer stupid questions? Yes, that's what he is supposed to do, actually.
Well, I mean, it's very much like politics in that if you are on one side, you agree with everything they do. Right. I remember defending Roberto Alomar spitting on an umpire. So I know how...
Oriole.
Yeah. Right. This one, I would never do that today. I was in my 20s at the time and a moron. But nobody is right, 100% right, 100% of the time. Yes, listen, it's not that we don't understand why he was bummed out or why he acted the way that he did, but it wasn't appropriate to act that way. And I see these champions saying, no, this is how you act and what would you do? You've never won anything. You've never lost anything of this. Okay, whatever. We can't say somebody doesn't act like a dick. Guess who acts like a dick sometimes? My kids, who I love more than anything in this world. But sometimes
your
they're wrong.
Sometimes.
And that's, yeah, love him too. But that's not up for debate.
No, it's just, you're right, though. It's, you know, your race is... hate Cam Newton. That doesn't mean any criticism of Cam Newton is wrong. Like, racists thought OJ was guilty too. You know, so
this is such true.
Right. It's like sometimes you can just read what someone's saying, but you have to go to this extreme.
That's the other thing. You know, I'm a big Cam Newton fan. You know,
Cam Newton too.
He's the face of Under Armour for the NFL. You know, I grew up in a house where, you know, we watched Cam Newton. I mean, I grew up, but I spent, you know, several years in a house where we rooted for Auburn and we rooted for Cam Newton. So, you know, I have an affinity for this guy, but that doesn't mean he can do no wrong. All right, I made my point.
Well, I thought that Bomani Jones, ESPN radio and reporter, had the good line about it. It's like he was wrong, but I think him embarrassing himself was the punishment. You know, I don't need to pile on. Plus, you know, if he acts like nice and contrite and shows and actually cries, like, he would have had more fans. So he probably lost tens of millions of dollars in endorsements by not doing that.
Oh, no, you're right.
Now that money will go to Russell Wilson. Because if you want a young, hip, you don't have to be black, but just young, hip quarterback. I mean, Andrew Luck's a dork. Aaron Rodgers is getting up there a little bit in age. Obviously, Manning and Brady and Breeze and those guys are at the end. So if you want the young, hip, cool guy, RG3 kind of flamed out. So did Kaepernick. It's Russell Wilson or Cam Newton. And Russell Wilson is just better at doing media and playing that game right now. And so, you know, I'm not going to pile on Cam Newton. He just lost the Super Bowl and probably $10 million. I think he learned enough. You know? All right. I want to talk about Bert Kreischer. Are you familiar with him?
I mean, I know who he is.
Robbie or Marcus, familiar with his work?
I've heard the name.
Well, I worked with Richmond Funny Bone. It's the first time I've ever worked with him. And he is known to be sort of like a wild man, party animal. And that was very true. I've never seen anyone. This guy drinks way more than I could ever drink. And, I mean, he gets after it. He's drinking hard stuff. He does, like, every show, he takes his shirt off. He does his whole show with his shirt off. People send him shots. I mean, it's crazy. But he tells a lot of stories. And one night, a bunch of us went out that he knew, and he took me with him. And we went out, and he told this story about how he used to be friends with Jay Moore. And by the way, this story, it's not new ground. It's just new to me, and probably new to most of you. It was Joe Rogan was all over this a few years ago, so it's not some breaking news inside baseball, but it's a good story. Jay Moore took him on the road with him, But Jay Moore would have Burt go after him because he couldn't follow him. So you'd have an
MC.
I've
never even heard of that.
Never heard of that. Jay Moore would do an hour. Then Burt would do 30 minutes at the end. Weird. So Burt one night tells him this story about hanging out. He used to work at this New York City comedy club. He was a doorman. And he used to just hang out and he'd party with all the comics. And he said the black comics were more fun because they weren't in rehab. And he talks about a night with Tracy Morgan. Tony Woods was there, who's, you know, we've mentioned on the show before, a friend of ours. And Tracy Morgan gives him a joint. They start smoking it. Tracy Morgan says it's PCP.
Is it really?
Burt Kreischer goes, like freaking out. He goes to talk to Tony Woods. He goes, Tony Woods, he gave me PCP. He's like, nah, he's just messing with you because you're white. He's just telling you that. And Burt says, are you sure? He goes, maybe. So he's like, but you don't go home. Just stay around us in case you freak out. So they go to this club, and Tracy Morgan's just holding court. By the way, he's not famous yet. This is like, I think he just got SNL. So he has now, there's no 30 Rock. He's not the household name that he is.
Right.
But he's just holding court and, you know, giving people champagne bottles. And the end of the night comes, and the waitress gives Burt this bill. And Tracy Morgan's like, why didn't you give it to me? Or you think, oh, I'm black, we can't afford it? Or the guy gave it to the white guy. So this whole argument ensues. The bouncers come over. Tracy Morgan punches the bouncer. This huge fight breaks out.
He punches Burt bouncer?
Burt runs out of there. Yeah, he's punched. There's a huge melee. Burt runs out. Tony Woods runs out. A few minutes later, they throw Tracy Morgan out of the club. He gets up and says, hey, that's how you get out of paying a bill. So that's the short version of the story. Now, there's more to it. But the point is that he tells Jay Moore this story. Jay Moore's like, that's hilarious. You should tell it on stage. He's like, I don't know. I don't think it's really for the stage. I just, you know, I'm going to tell it to friends and comics. And so Jay Moore says, no, you should tell it. Jay Moore goes up. Again, he goes on before him, which is weird. He closes his set by saying, hey, Burt Kreischer's up next. He's got this great story. He tells the story. You know, obviously Jay Moore does impressions, so he's, you know, doing Tracy Morgan impressions, which is probably adding to the story. It crushes. Burt goes up there. It helps him do well. So that whole week at this club, Jay Moore is telling that story. Fast forward a few weeks later, Burt gets wind that Jay Moore is telling this story on the road without Burt, but still giving him credit. Like, okay.
This is what happened to Burt Kreischer.
Yes, Burt Kreischer.
Right.
So, and he's like, that's okay. You know, it's getting my name out there. People don't know who I am, so that's got to be good. Then he hears Opie and Anthony. Jay Moore's on there. He told the story. So he's like ecstatic because he loves Opie and Anthony. Sure. They're going to want to reach out to me. I'm going to come on up, go on Opie Anthony. He downloads it. He listens to it. Or I forget whether it was radio or whatever, but he listens to it. Jay Moore says it happened to him.
Oh, what a dick.
Him. Then Jay Moore does a Showtime special, tells the story on Showtime as if it happened to him.
On the Showtime special?
On the Showtime special.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is so ballsy. Actually, that probably helped Burt Kreischer, right?
Well, the thing is, Burt had just was making this documentary about a comic basically being on the road, missing his kids and trying to make it. And at the time of that documentary, sort of got a little bigger with some other things happened. So it wasn't as interesting a story in terms of no one's ever heard of him. But he said they can't release the documentary because Jay Moore will sue, because that's part of the documentary. That's a big part of the whole thing, is that happening. And Tracy Morgan has denied this happens. Plus, he says he has brain damage, so you can't really rely on anything he says.
There's a guy in chat. His name is Only Fat Guy Who Hates Snickers. And that guy is saying, pretty sure Jay has come clean about this. That sounds like the opposite of what you're saying. Can you believe that misinformation in chat? That's weird.
No. I'm not. He may have come clean since then. Yes. But after the damage was done. Yeah.
Well, how come this isn't a big story? That guy. Now, granted, it's not like saying you were in 9/11, like the guy from from the
Steve
league,
Rutzel, whatever,
you know,
yeah.
But it's as bad as the guy, you know, who was going to become the head coach at Notre Dame and put that he was an offensive coordinator, you know, 30 years ago somewhere and they didn't hire him. It's as bad as that.
Well, you steal a joke is one thing, but this is a story. This is how
I don't know. I think they're both. I think stealing a joke and this are both equally as despicable. But how surprised were you when you like? I know nothing about Jay Moore, but I see him and I go, you know, that guy's a dick, and it ends up he is.
He told me that the character that Jay Moore plays in Jerry Maguire is Jay Moore. That's who he is. Also, Tracy Morgan, by the way, doesn't I've heard stories about him, including one this week where he says to the MC, he says, "Hey, you do you like to go out and drink after the show?" The guy goes, "Yeah." He goes, "All right, well, you better get your own friends because you ain't hanging out with us." So, I mean, why do you do that? It's just. But anyway, it was a good time. I saw Hank and Laura Reuter. They said hello, Marcus. It was good shows. There was a, and I want to get your opinion on this, Joe, all of you guys. There was this couple in the front row, very front seat, middle seat, at the Late Show Friday. And she had on what I would call something you would wear to a very nice nightclub, like a night out in the town, like this black dress. She's overdressed, basically. Okay. He's wearing what I would say, if I invited you over to help me paint and you wore this, it would make sense. And they're married, and I'm like, Tawanda would not let me leave the house with that much of a difference in our wardrobe.
Yeah, that's rare that somebody would allow that to happen.
Oh, I made fun of it for 5 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah, it helped you. But what I would do, if you're the, I would guess if, like, if I did that, Katie would never let me leave the house dressed like that.
Right. That
but
was
if
my.
If I was such a dick that I insisted on wearing that, well, she would change into something that didn't look like that. You know, she's
one
not going
to,
you know what I mean?
Had to change. Yeah. Because it looked ridiculous. I mean, I took a picture of it. I think I'll post it. But yeah, it was ridiculous. But good times. Oh, here's another story. And this was actually good advice. Bert told me that he was working with Dave Attell, featuring for him. And Dave Attell said to him, "Hey, I'll watch your set. I'll keep watching your set if you stop trying to kill. Because you're just going there trying to kill. If you go out there, try to take some chances and try, you know, to not just do what you know is going to crush, then I'll watch your set. But if you're going to keep trying to kill, I'm not going to pay attention." And I've thought about that with me in the sense that sometimes I'm just doing what I know is going to kill, but am I growing from that? So I took that to heart, and then I went out there and I just tried to kill. But whatever. But I do feel like that is something that resonated with me, but I didn't act on it. But does that, I mean, I know you're not, I don't think you're trying to really get better as a comic, Joe. I mean, you're.
No.
You're just sort of happy with where you are. But
I'm
I do
happy
feel
with where
like
I am.
To get better, I need to bomb.
Yeah, you're in a different place than me. You know, I'm not looking for a ton of stand-up work, although I still, you know, do stand-up probably, I don't know, 3 paid shows a month.
Right.
But you know, what I'm really trying to do is this murder mystery. That's my yeah. baby now. That's where I focus my creative attention. But I think I take, I don't know, you and I'm a lot meaner than you on stage. I was super mean this weekend. There was a couple, and the ex-boyfriend of one of the girls, the ex-boyfriend was sitting at the end of the table. There's only 5 people at the table. So right. The one guy was at one end, the other guy, the ex-boyfriend was at the other end. And of course, I just kept describing all the things that he had done to her and wondering who was better in bed and things like that, just making it awkward and uncomfortable. The guy, of right. course, the crowd liked it, but the guy actually flipped me off and he left. He walked out. So I'm definitely willing to take, I mean, I'm definitely willing to, you know, I think I put myself out there a little bit more in that regard. I'm meaner than you, way meaner. Agreed?
Would you, yes. Would you do this? The MC, this guy, Dylan, he's a nice kid. He's funny. I liked him a lot. He was super cool. And he closes on this joke where a woman in the audience after the show asks him if he wants to have a threesome. And then she tells him that it's with my husband and that she gets him really drunk and they end up going back to their room and he's making out with her. And then the husband pulls his pants down. He's got the biggest dick he's ever seen. And he's like, what am I here to spot you? I mean, it's a funny joke. It was a lot
That's
of
funny.
Yeah. There's more punchlines to it, but it's a real funny joke. And he said to me, he said, you know, I've had people follow me and they'll go up there and say, you know, I haven't seen Dylan since the threesome, and it always crushes. And I'm like, damn it. I feel like that's something I would have said, I would have thought of.
Oh, you didn't like him throwing you that bone.
But I did it anyways, and it crushed every time because it was so easy. It's so, you walk up there, hey, Dylan, I haven't seen since the threesome, and people go crazy because you're saying you have this huge dick. I mean, it did, and it's just an easy way to start your show. But would you do that, or would you just not do that?
I probably wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know if other if he thought of a line that night for me to say, and it was funny, I'd say it. But if he says, hold on, I got a cough. If he says to me, hey, a lot of comics have done this in the past, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, I did it. I guess that says some about me. But I did give him a line for a joke. I felt like we were even because he has the joke about having an air mattress, and it's tough to have foreplay after you just blew up an air mattress for 30 minutes. And I gave him a line about going down on your air mattress, this thing. But anyway, I feel like we're even. But do you you worked with the great Wendy Townsend this weekend.
And Justin, yeah, Justin Schlegel.
Oh, yeah, Justin
Schlegel. We worked at, it was an American Legion Hall.
Sounds awesome.
And I've done shows like this before with Mickey, and sometimes they can be really great shows. You know, they're always huge, right? Huge venues. They can usually put, 200-300 people in there. And I kept reading online, almost sold out. Now, that's not necessarily the fault of the person who posted it, but I hate that. I never say you better get tickets to somebody if I know the show's not going to be close to sold out. I never say that,
right?
Because then they come there and they go, okay, well, this guy's full of shit. So I never do it. I never
we
say
said
almost
it for
sold
the Magoobies show and the DC Improv show, and they sold out.
Yeah. I say it when it's true. I say it when it's true. As a matter of fact, AMP on Saturday, if you're hearing this, you better get your tickets.
Yes.
Ram's Head, we're half full. You probably can get tickets. Annapolis on Sunday. That's the reality of it. So anyway, but back to the story. So I walk in and this thing, first of all, they have pictures of the past presidents of this, whatever this American Legion Hall is. And right. It goes back to like, 19. Hey, it goes back before the Second World War. It goes back prior to the Second World War.
A lot of white guys.
Yeah, there was some exclusively white guys and exclusively men. There was another wall for women. I don't know what they did. They were the cooks or something. But yeah, I mean, there was a one wall guys, and then there was these other ladies like, hey, don't worry. These ladies are here supporting these men by cooking right. And cleaning. And well, yeah, right. So anyway, and there was bingo boards up there, and it was dusty and all that stuff. My brother and I, when we were little kids, my mother used to work at this junior high, and on the weekends – we would go there and they'd rent out skates and we'd roller skate in one of their, recreation rooms. That's what this room looked like. I mean, the same as it was back in 1970, five or whenever that was. Right. So now, of course, the room is also half full, which is annoying to me. Not that it's half full because it still was, 150 people there. But because, I was given this other impression about how the room was supposed to be. Right. It was also seated very oddly. But anyway, the point is that Wendy and Justin are there, and Wendy Townsend brings her brand new boyfriend. Now, do you know about this guy yet?
I do not. I did first time hearing about it.
Okay, so she has a boyfriend. The boyfriend is my age. He's 47 years old, okay? And I meet the guy, and he's the nicest guy I ever met in my entire... I'm not... No lie. He couldn't have been nicer, right? But he's also a very physical guy, so he's hugging me... And he's, oh, man, it's so great to meet you. And it makes you feel good. That's true, right? I mean, sure. I don't mind that at all, right? So anyway, but I think he's had too much to drink. Because a little bit later on in the night, he came back to again tell me for the third time how great it was to meet me. He hugged me again. This time he kissed me.
Where did he kiss you?
He kissed me on the side of like my head and cheek in that area.
Was it okay? Sloppy?
Well, no, because it hit my hair, so I don't know.
Okay. All right.
And honestly, the guy was such a nice guy. I don't want to give the impression that, I have any problem with this guy. He was the nicest guy I ever met. Sorry, I keep coughing. That's why there's that pause. But anyway, but the kiss, it alarmed me. I mean, what would you have done?
I would have made a joke. Oh, we're kissing. We just met. Are you going to blow me? Something
you know
like
what? I didn't want him to feel embarrassed by doing that.
Well, maybe he should feel embarrassed by doing that.
No, I didn't. I don't want to make this guy feel bad for being the nicest guy I ever met. I didn't want
have
him to
have you
feel
ever
bad.
In your life kissed a man that you just met?
Christ, no, I've never done that.
Of course not. Well, what if you see him next time? And he's obviously sober. He comes over, hugs you, does the exact same thing.
You know, I mean, I'm going to do nothing. He's also a very huge guy.
You're never going to say anything. You just keep
kissing. I'm never going to say anything, but I will. Here's the deal. Like, I'm not going to, I like him so much that I'll risk him kissing me every time. I'll risk it.
And he's not, he's an American. He's not, because some, you know, he's not some foreign
guy. Like French. No, he's, yeah, he looks like a military guy or like a police officer kind of guy.
What if he kisses you on the forehead? You don't say anything?
Well, that's the other thing, because he kissed me in a manner that was like very like father son, you know what I mean? Like, like he kissed me on the head, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is, again, it's very strange, but I'm not going to, if I see him, I'm going to be like, hey, what's up? I'm not going to like avoid him to avoid being kissed.
What if you're somewhere and when he goes, guess who? And you feel a massage on your hands on your neck and you look, it's him.
But he's not, I think, I don't feel like he's like a, like he doesn't, what's the word, project any like homosexual like overtones or undertones or whatever. He doesn't do that. Right. He's just a very physical guy. And obviously he's very comfortable with himself because to kiss somebody you'd met that day, and he didn't even meet me that day. He met me that, he met me in the last 20 minutes.
You were that funny. He had to kiss you.
No, this is before I went up on stage.
Oh.
Graham said in chat, what if he goes for the lips? No, I'll pull back. I won't let him kiss me on the lips. That's too much.
What if he kisses, he goes to shake your hand and he pulls it up, he kisses it on your hand.
Like he kisses my hand when he meets me? That'd be strange too. I'd literally be like, dude, why are you doing that? But, you know,
really
I'd make a joke because honestly, I really like, I'm not kidding. He's a genuinely a super nice guy. I like the guy. Matter of fact, I'm telling you, so much so that if I see him, I'm not going to avoid him to worry about being kissed.
What would be more weird, a kiss on the cheek or a kiss on the hand?
A kiss on the hand is way weirder, right?
What about a kiss on the nose?
Yeah, that's weirder than all of them.
Or a tongue in the ear.
Yeah, it goes, the worst, the least one is what happened, kiss on the cheek.
Yeah. Well, kiss followed on the
by,
head.
Followed by kiss on the hand, which is pretty weird, but kiss on the nose, that's really weird. And then tongue in the ear, that's obviously something meaning something completely different.
Right. What about the back of the neck?
Yeah, that's super weird. Okay, so where is it in that four, in those four? It's
if he's blowing on the back of your neck and kissing. I mean, that's foreplay.
If he's blowing and kissing the back of my neck, that'd be the worst thing. But if he just kissed the back of my neck, that's right before the tongue and the ear, but behind the kiss on the nose.
Is there any chance that he had just done something with Wendy and he was having a little fun moment where I just put my mouth somewhere on Wendy and now I'm going to kiss Joe?
I mean, there's a good shot at that. You know, Wendy is not somebody who's going to hide the idea that she's into some pretty wild stuff. And obviously, you know, if you're going to date her, he's going to be doing some things that, you know, you got to search the kind of videos that you got to keep looking until you find the kind that, you know, prior show and answer Tim Moran might send us.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. The trial of Robbie Robinson. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. My next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. It's going to be incredible. Don't miss it.
Two upcoming performances, February 13th at AMP by Strathmore in Bethesda and February 14th at Ramsett on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit facebook.com/DieLaughingProductions or robinjoe.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Let's set this up, Joe. We're in a, just for fun, but doesn't mean you can cheat, Bachelor Fantasy League. Barely fantasy league, but it's four of us, you, me, Robbie, and Scott Apple. I believe we're calling.
Well, let me say one thing about what Robbie calls just for fun, okay?
Hello.
Jesus.
Jeez, you okay? You there, Scott?
I am here.
All right, hang
what
in there, buddy.
Fuck?
Yeah, you're all right, dude? You're in a wind tunnel or something?
No, does it sound bad?
Yeah, you're supposed to be talking on your phone. You're not using your phone?
No, I'm using a headset. You want me to switch to the phone?
Yes, please.
All right. Call me again.
Good stuff.
Okay, so, but Robbie, what you said is obviously you change. I even change my degree of effort based on if there's money involved, right? I mean, yes, I want to win, but Robbie, think about this. We made fun of him for picking the Carolina Panthers at the beginning of the season, and he held on to it and played it 2 weeks ago. It meant nothing, by the way, other than, you know, you don't win anything if you predict the Super Bowl winners, but Robbie, that's important. This kind of stuff is important to him.
Yeah.
And so much so that that Robbie was in a Bachelor Fantasy League 2 years ago.
A real involved one.
Right, a real involved one, but that was also for no money, correct, Robbie?
No money.
Okay, so no money changed hands. But Robbie, again, this is one way worse than what is going on in ours. But Robbie had this basically mathematically impossible lead. And as a result, he was removed from the Bachelor Fantasy League. Now, we have our Bachelor Fantasy League. We talked about it. Robbie, when there were 15 people left, he had his entire team intact. Okay, but I don't want to go any further because we actually have prosecuting attorney Scott Apple. And Robbie, I guess you're going to speak. You're going to defend yourself. You will.
Well, Scott needs to make the case first, and then Robbie has to.
Well, he's going to do an opening statement, I guess, right?
Well, are we going to make the claim, or is Scott going to make the claim?
Well, Scott is going to make the claim himself because he's for the state.
Right. So I'm saying Scott needs to go first.
All right. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. So, who is the finder of fact in this matter?
What? What are you talking
about?
Who's
the judge?
What do you mean? We're all idiots here. You're supposed to have done this.
Okay. So there needs to be somebody that will rule on motions and objections. Does it want to be Joe or Rob?
I'll rule.
Okay.
Okay. Rob's the finder of fact. All right. So that being established, I am going to make an opening statement. I'm going to call a witness, and then after I'm done direct examination of that witness, Robbie has the option to cross-examine that witness if they want.
You actually aren't going to call the witness because the witness is not available. But anyway, go ahead.
I will present my case as needed, and then we'll go from there. All right.
Just present your case.
Okay. So in this matter, Robbie has practiced a pattern of systematic deception by first creating a situation, the Bachelor Fantasy League, where he can essentially participate with other people in the Bachelor Fantasy League process, and then has used various sources to determine who is going to win the Bachelor system, and then has placed himself in a position of achievement by selecting the contestants most likely to continue onward through information that he has derived from those sources. We will be
I
able
object.
To-
you can't object an opening statement, Robbie. Be quiet.
Overruled.
God, that's typical Robbie. Hey, once things start, the heat comes in. It's he loves it too. Same thing with chat. If something that's happening that doesn't work in his favor, they're going to then criticize the bid itself. Continue,
well,
Scott.
The issue is how did he come across the decision to select one twin over the other?
Let me just set up the twin thing more clearly. The twins are on there. Everybody on the show they have their name and then their occupation. Michelle, you know, bartender. Elizabeth, PR. And then the twins, they're just the twins.
Occupation twin.
So they're on there. As a gimmick, as twins, obviously it's a reality show. They want this drama. Are the twins going to fight each other for the man? Everything that you could think could happen. Is he going to date both twins at the same time? Are they one girl? Are they one contestant? Are they two? So it's clearly a gimmick, which means they're not actual real candidates to win because it's just for the reality show portion of it. It's not real. It's not. They're not there to find love. They're in as a gimmick. But Robbie selected one of the twins. By the way, in case you're not clear, they're identical twins. So there's no reason you can pick one after the other based on looks.
Can I say one thing real quick, Rob, about the other twin that he decided to pick dead last? That twin, when they talked about her greatest achievement, she made it all the way to the final cuts for being a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. That's the one that he didn't like. Right. The other one, who had nothing to say even remotely like that, who grew up the exact same house, looked the exact same way, he decided warranted the third overall pick for him. Anyway, go ahead.
And guess what? The twins, one of them was eliminated recently. They went on a date with two of them and the main guy, the bachelor. And the one that Robbie picked is still around. So you picked the gimmick. You picked one third and then one with your final pick. Huge, huge, huge red flag. Robbie?
You want to defend it?
I don't have a defense because I don't remember why I picked one over the other.
Well, the classic, I can't remember. A lot of guilty people say that.
That's the same thing that Roger Clemens said when they accused him of taking HGH.
I have a question for Robbie, and that is, you're involved in another Bachelor Fantasy League at the same time as this one is going on, correct?
Yeah.
How's that one going?
I'm first in my division, second overall.
Phil Rhodes told me you had all five of your people left. Is that true?
It might be. Yes, that's true.
So
you don't seem very sure suddenly, Robbie.
No. I'm just trying to recall because I haven't been paying very, very close attention.
Well, why would you? And you know what's going to happen.
Yes, you don't even need to watch the show.
No, I pay close attention to the show. I enjoy the show. I can't wait to watch it after the show's over.
I mean, you don't find it odd that you would take the twin with the third in your third round pick when it's clearly you would think it's a gimmick.
I didn't want to take the twins at all. I figured that
you took one with the 28 girls are left.
The third pick you had,
I know, because Joe had already taken the good picks.
Robbie, it was the third pick. Right. You understand? There's only four of us. Okay, you understand? There had only been 11 picks. You followed. There were 28 people. Yeah. There were 28 people.
You know, if four other people did this, 9 out of 10 times, the twins would be the last two picks of the draft.
No,
other time.
No, the twins were picked pretty high in my other league, too.
Because they're cheating also. You're in an advanced league with people that are cheating.
So the problem is that the thing that the largest, I mean, obviously there's just the math of it is absurd, right?
No, we've it's 200-1. That's not that. 200-1 is not outrageous odds.
What's that?
200-1 is not outrageous odds.
No, you're right. It's not outrageous, Robbie. But when it comes on the heels of this other thing, and by the way, we can have Phil do the math of the other one, but that was somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000-1. But coming off the heels of that, it seems very suspect. Now, one thing that you did say the last time was that you did use other resources. Hello?
Yes, I said that. What's...
Okay, so you gave a link for everyone to look at. They saw the contestants over there about, and then you went outside of that and you got other information.
Yes, I read as much as I could about the people who were playing.
No, right. I got that. Yes, I'm completely aware of that. So you went and you read this information that wasn't privy to the other people, right?
No. You guys were free to look around the internet for
everyone.
Well,
no, we didn't want to cheat.
On the website.
Why would we go and try to peruse information and find out things that we weren't supposed to know about outcomes? We would not do that. You understand, when you click on a link about The Bachelor, you don't know what's in there. You don't know.
Link that's not abc.com/The Bachelor is a site that could have spoilers. And could
you're right. That's always a possibility. You're correct.
And I honestly, Robbie, and I'll bet you if they polygraphed you, you'd think you didn't cheat. I believe that. I don't think you think you cheated. But I guarantee you that if there were other sites, especially sites that knew the outcome, okay, then they certainly allude and they're going to steer you in a direction that's really unfair to a contest where you're supposed to not have any knowledge of outcome. I mean, it's pretty clear.
Okay, let me just say this. Jimmy Kimmel has predicted either the winner or the runner-up the last, like, 6 out of 7
that's
seasons.
One person, Robbie, listen, that's the easiest
there
thing.
Is, guess what? There never. Is, listen.
Scott
let me just,
has one
can I just finish
left,
what I'm trying to say?
He's got a good shot at winning that. But all of his other people are gone.
They're
you understand, our competition is not based on trying to figure out who won or we'd all still be in it. You're trying to figure out who lasts the longest. And you made these strange, wild picks where people look exactly the same and look and grew up in the exact same house. There's no difference. And you have one going dead last in the entire draft and won as the third overall pick. And then you say you don't remember why you did that.
You picked the girl who likes The Notebook over the girl who was almost the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. I mean, if you're going to pick one, you would have picked the other one. So you went to a site. You said, oh, there's the Red Sox making it to the Twins this year. But, hey, they're not just a gimmick. Wink, wink, wink. And that was somehow that got in the back of your mind. And then when it came time to pick, that came out somehow.
Yeah, I never read anything like that.
Yeah. Mm. You didn't remember things a minute ago. Maybe at your advanced age, Robbie, you're losing your memory.
Scott, anything else, my friend?
The only other question I had was, are the people in the other league the same ones that he picked in this league?
The same
girls?
Let
me guess, he doesn't remember.
No, I think that they're almost all the same. I think I have fewer people.
So some are not.
I have fewer people that I could pick in that league.
You know who he didn't pick in that league? The twin that already got eliminated. I bet he has the other twin.
No, I think I have both twins in that league too.
Well, if you have both, you wouldn't have all five players. So you're wrong about that.
Oh, that's probably true then.
Right.
I wrote down,
have the one twin and don't have the other, Robbie, in that league too.
I wrote down.
I'd be interested in that. That'd be really strange.
I think that's accurate. Let me see if I can figure that out right now.
Now,
I mean, do you understand how
edit
strange
this is? Is he going to edit it out because he doesn't think it's funny, or is he going to edit it out because it makes him look guilty?
I mean, he's so guilty. Of course, Gramps, you know, he doesn't like this. Gramps doesn't. He's in chat saying Robbie is wrong just because he's better at research. Well, that's not really a fair thing to say. You understand? If you know the outcome of something, that's not research. We're betting on the outcome. You understand?
We're going to do is – I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say – if you know the outcome, you can't lose a bet. That's the whole idea.
Right.
We will post
Emily
a poll on Twitter at Robin Joe Show. We will have three people decide this. The people that vote in the poll or just chime in on Facebook. Marcus Serta and reigning until otherwise noted listener of the year, Miggity Mac. We will rely on three of you, the poll people. So the masses, and then Marcus and Mac, and we'll get it at least a 2-1 decision, if not unanimous.
Yeah, I don't have Haley in the other league.
So you don't have the twin that got kicked off?
Correct.
But you do have the twin that's still there.
Correct.
Do you have any people that are serious?
What?
So in that one, you were forced to take that twin in this one, but in the other one, you knew. You understand how difficult it is for us to accept the idea that even now in that other league, you didn't even pick the one at all because you didn't have to. You only had to take five. That one, you only took one. You chose between two twins, and both times you basically guessed the right twin.
Yep.
All right.
Well, I've heard enough. Let's take a break.
Well, you didn't let me finish what I was saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Joe just walked all over me.
Go ahead, Rob.
There's a skill to this. And if you watch The Bachelor all the time with a producer's eye, you understand who's going to stay around. It was pure luck that I got the correct twin. You know, their pictures are right next to each other. It was pure luck. And I wrote them down in a specific order that I was going to pick them. But that was pure luck. There is a skill to understanding who is going to stay around longer. A, because you know that they're going to be normal and they're going to be attractive to The Bachelor, or B, they're going to be crazy and the producers are going to want to try to keep them around.
Right.
Simple as that.
Yeah, but we didn't know that they were crazy by looking at ABC.com.
That's
you have
true.
To go to
a
website that is aware of the outcome. You see, you can't know that person is crazy unless you talk to somebody who's already seen the show. You understand? I mean, again, Robbie, I know what's going on. You think that that's okay. I'm telling you, it's not.
Okay, fine.
Because there's no way for me to know that that person is crazy, but somebody who's seen the show, you understand, there hadn't been one episode when we had picked. You had information about outcomes, and one of the outcomes is this person has insane behavior. That's something.
I had more information.
There's no way for us to know by reading profiles.
I had more information about the person. I didn't have more information about what was going to happen to them on the show.
Yeah, but you're not going to know. Listen, that the only way to know that they're crazy is to see their behavior in episodes on the show. That's information that you had.
Robbie found their Facebook profiles. He went back years looking at posts.
Hey, if Robbie found their Facebook profiles, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
But if you read
a website that talks about what happens on the show, which is really what happened.
No, they didn't talk about what happened on the show. I didn't read anything about
what. You only know. Okay, Robbie, where did she behave crazily? What's the crazy one's name, Scott?
The current one is Olivia.
Olivia.
Okay. How would you know that she was crazy unless you read information about how she behaved on the show?
She's the youngest, she's the hottest, and she looked like a good candidate.
Okay, so you're saying, but you actually used the term who was going to be crazy. You were the one that let us know you had that information.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically people saying, oh yeah, this person is going to act crazy on the show. I didn't read anything like that. I'm telling you what my impressions were from reading about these people.
I think that sums it up. I'm more convinced now that you are guilty. But I don't have a say in this. I won't vote either. I will just put the poll up. I will not vote. I will not. I will. The people will decide, Robbie.
Okay.
And your fate is that you are eliminated from the contest if they say you cheated.
That's fine.
And you cannot win.
I'm used to that.
All right. Rob and Joe Show, let's come right back with some Valentine's worst date stories ever that are pretty good, actually. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Sherry's Berries. This holiday season, give Sherry's Berries the gift that makes everyone merry. The freshest, juiciest strawberries dipped in the finest ingredients. Choose from over 50 gourmet toppings, all delivered fresh to your home or office. With this special offer, get a signature box of Sherry's Berries for just $19.99. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter code Rob and Joe, or call 877-BERRIES and mention the Rob and Joe Show. Surprise them with something different and delicious for the holidays. Shop Sherry's Berries.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, this weekend we have two big murder mystery shows. The Newly Dead Game, February 13th, that's Saturday night at AMP in Bethesda. And then the Sunday night, Valentine's Day itself, at Ramset on Stage in Annapolis. We are giving away two free tickets to the show at AMP in Bethesda on Saturday night. We've had people write in their worst Valentine's date stories. We got some good candidates. Let's talk it out, and we will vote on the winner tonight. Laura Sands says, my ex forgot, so he ran to 7-Eleven and bought some weird stuffed animal that made a god-awful noise when you squeezed it, a stale chocolate rose that was half-melted, and a birthday card, but happy birthday was scratched out, and Happy Valentine's Day was written over it. And
just trying to be hilarious.
And he forgot to sign the card.
One time, very early on in Katie and I's relationship, Easter came and I went, did the same thing, but I thought it was adorable. And so did she. Could that guy have been doing that?
I don't think so, because it sounds like it was the rest of it was bad. Though then she said they got in an argument about the band POD. Who's that? And he poured a drink over her head. Now, this is her ex, so clearly it didn't work out. I don't know. The worst part to me is not signing the card.
Yeah, I mean, even if here's the thing. This guy took the time to scratch out. You know, he took the time to scratch out happy birthday. Now, I've done that before where you get a little kid's card and you know, you're trying to be funny. That I get.
Right.
I can't imagine getting so upset about the band POD that I'm pouring a drink over. By the way, I can't pour a drink over Katie's head. She'll, you know, that there's ramifications for that.
Sure. Well, they broke off these two.
Yeah.
So that's a candidate. Now, go over here. Our buddy David, I never say his last name right. Desotel. He comments frequently on Facebook. Great listener. I don't know if this was a Valentine's or just a first date, but we'll count it. He went on a first date with a girl who had found out that day she was pregnant with the guy she hooked up with the week before meeting me.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty heavy shit.
She still went on the date?
Yeah. Well, she'd found out that day. She'd met him a few months back or something, and then they finally went on a date, but that day she had found out that she was pregnant with some guy that she hooked up before meeting him.
Okay, so you hook up. You do. And maybe this is a bit, isn't an apples to apples. You hook up with a girl, you know, a month ago.
Right.
And but you're single in this scenario. And you meet a girl at a show or whatever, and you have a date with her that night. And 3 hours before you are going on this date, you get a text and the other girl lets you know she's pregnant. Do you go on the date?
Probably.
Really? I don't think I could go on the date.
Well, I don't want to sit at home and then just think about it. I mean, I want to get away.
Yeah, but you're going to, I mean, it depends on how much you like this other person. I'm not going to be able to be hilarious, I don't think.
Well, it's not about the date, trying to make it happen with that person. I think that I'd give up on that, but I'd still would probably go out. Yeah, I don't know. He said
cancel the date and still go out?
I know. I don't think I'd cancel the date. Because then I got to lie why I canceled it, or I have to tell the truth. And now it just seems like I'm adding more drama. No, that seems, I mean, I'll probably be getting drunk, which that could, I mean, I should cancel the date. She broke down on the phone she wanted him to help him decide to keep it or not. So, I mean, that's a lot of, it's like, babe, I haven't ordered the appetizers yet. I got to figure out if you're going to have an abortion.
Yeah, that's a strange thing to ask somebody that you're on a first date with. That's pretty bad, man. The previous story, you know, that's a good one, but this one, I think this one is better.
All right, well, we got one more. It's a candidate. This guy Chris, he describes himself as a 26-year-old conservative Christian recovering drug addict. Father of twins, says that Valentine's Day 2014, 2 years ago, my girlfriend and I found out we were having twins. We went out to dinner to celebrate. He has too much to drink. She gets really mad and said that they weren't mine. Must have been the guy I met on my business trip, she said. He gets really upset, relapses on heroin after 2 years clean. The next day, she told me she was just trying to get back at me. Turns out they were mine. They had twins. They're healthy. He's now 18 months sober.
So, hold on. This happened to be on Valentine's Day?
Yes. 2 years ago. This coming Valentine's.
She gets so mad at him, she says they're not yours.
Well, I guess if she's pregnant, the first thing he wants to do is get drunk, and now she can't drink. I don't know. Maybe that rubbed her the wrong way. He got drunk and out of control. I mean, if he had a heroin problem, he probably shouldn't be drinking, right?
I mean, you know, you listen. So I got to be careful about this.
I asked him if we can tell this story.
Yeah, but it sounds so far-fetched. It does. It sounds so far-fetched. You know, if it's real, that's the worst story. But the second one seems a lot more believable. You understand? And I'm not, again, you have carte blanche. By the way, if this was me and I was trying to win a prize, I would embellish. I would. I'm not being critical of people that have, but that sounds.
It doesn't make them sound good. You know?
It sounds over the top. It sounds like too much.
He says he's listened to since episode 10. He loves the show. I like that since episode 10. He didn't go back and listen to the first one. But he loves it. And he would be honored. He'd be honored if we read it on the air. He kissed ass a little.
I mean, it is the best story. If it's 100% true, that's the or worst, however you want to say it. I'm so steering towards the second one.
Yeah, me too. I don't believe that he was listening since episode 10 even.
Well, I don't want to call the guy a liar, but I am going to say this. If I were trying to produce a story to win something, I might embellish. I'm not being critical of
that. Okay, well, this is what he did. He posted it originally on Facebook. And then it showed up on his timeline and he deleted it because he didn't want people to read that. And then he private messaged our Facebook and then we had a conversation, he and I. So, I mean, he's gone to a lot of links
Okay. All right. No, that's a good, I mean, that's compelling.
It's also something Robbie would do to cover his tracks, though.
That's true. Yeah, but he didn't do a very good job during this trial covering his tracks, but...
He says, I want to say if anything ends up making the show, I have a sense of humor about it. I'm not easily offended. In fact,
oh, good, good. Okay, then I don't believe his story, and I want to give it to guy number two. If he's not easily offended. If he is, if we're going to lose a listener, then I'm going to say I believe it and give it to him. But if he's really not easily offended, then let's give it to the second guy.
Well, if you're the second guy, if you're David, I mean, do you, like, you're not paying for the meal, are you? Once she says that she's pregnant, I mean, are you?
Yeah, you're going to have to pay more. It's going to be more.
Now she's eating for two.
No, my favorite part of that second story was when she was asking him for advice on whether to keep it. I mean, I'd like to go with that story.
All right. Well, David, they're yours, and if not, we'll give them to the guy you think is lying. Was that fair?
To make it clear that yes, that's I'm fine. I see. If he can take them, and if he can't, we'll give them to the guy.
Yes.
We'll give them to the guy that wouldn't pass a polygraph. Got it.
Although if this guy Chris wins, then we can't have heroin at the show because he might freak out.
No heroin.
So, which changes because that's how we roll. Robbie, are you coming to any of these shows? Are you bringing your woman?
I'm coming to the 13th show, yeah, at AMP.
Okay, cool.
She gets back on Thursday.
All right. Oh, good. We will be on TMOS this Wednesday. I guess by the time you guys hear this, it'll be that day, the 10th. We'll obviously be plugging that stuff. We're at the Alamo Draft House in Winchester on the 20th. And then we're right next to Rob's BWAC on the 26th at the Tally Ho in Leesburg. Rob will be coming out to that event because
him and his wife will be in the show. Am I right about that?
I believe that's what we're going to do. Yeah. So that's going to be exciting.
If you recall, I met my girlfriend on Valentine's Day. That's our anniversary.
Oh, that's a horrible story. All right, you win the tickets, Rob.
Win. Joe, are you? Oh shit, are you in? Are you doing something extra for Valentine's Day? Because I guess we can't just take our girls to the show.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm going to go out on the 12th because we have shows on the 13th and 14th. Yeah.
What about like a brunch? Can we do brunch on Sunday? Good idea.
So you know, I mean, we have that thing we have to do for the venue, which I have a feeling I'll be doing that just by myself is my guess.
I thought we got out of that.
And how would we get out of it?
I thought you made that happen.
Why would you think that tell me how you think that I got us out of that?
It just seemed like.
Just because you wish something to happen.
Because it seems like the last thing in the world you would want to do, and you are good at getting out of shit like that.
So we'll tell the venue, the Rams at Annapolis, they want us to do what's called an Instagram takeover. And the day of the event, people from the cast are supposed to be down in Annapolis taking wacky pictures of themselves in different, you know, places downtown.
Yeah, while we're at brunch with our girlfriends.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll gladly go to brunch. I mean, I'll do that. And then, you know, I'll put the hat and coat on.
We're supposed to, like, leave clues or something? I mean.
Well, you mean to what? To who the killer is? No, that the show does that.
But, I mean, what's interesting about us in Annapolis? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
But that's why I assumed. Robbie, I'm right. You would think Joe could get out of that, right?
I can't tell the venue it's a bad idea. I can't do it.
No, I saw Joe try and fail to get out of it.
Okay. You're losing.
But I'm saying, how would I? You tell me. I'm asking for advice. How would I have said that I have no idea how this idea is helpful? I couldn't say it. I try to make it work.
No, you say exactly the truth.
No, you can't.
I've got to do Valentine's. No, the truth is I got to do Valentine's Day stuff with the girl that day, that afternoon. Because we have a show Saturday night. And, you know, and Sunday's the only day to do it.
Well, they don't think
you're like on Costanza where George didn't. He froze. He froze.
They don't think it's going to be me. They think it's going to be us. They think the cast is going to be down there doing this.
Right. That's how you would have gotten out of it. And then it would be on my lap.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess look at the Rams Head in Annapolis' Instagram on Sunday the 14th, Valentine's Day, to see whatever we try to do.
You don't even know how to get on Instagram.
I mean, I don't, but they're going to give us access, so I guess I can go to Instagram.com
Could
and put in their
password.
Could you
find the Ramshead Instagram page within 1 minute?
Yeah.
I'll go. All right. I don't think I'll be able to do it.
Okay. Ramshead, Annapolis.
I started the clock. I started it 5 seconds late, so you got,
you
got 50 seconds.
I've been going there regularly to see if they're promoting it at all, which they're not.
Oh. Ramshead, excuse me, Ramshead on stage, Instagram, @Ramshead_onstage. I'm at it right now.
You got a follow.
278 posts, 668 followers, 377 following.
All right. Are you going to follow it on your Instagram, Joe?
I don't have Instagram, but I can just hit log in, and then I can just log in as them. I'm going to hit log in right now. Hold on. Let me see something
here. Oh, yeah?
Log in. There it is. Username, password. Done.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I could then attach photos from my phone. I got it all figured out.
Oh, then you don't need my help. Glad you did it for me.
I definitely need your help. I can't just be all pictures of me. Like, who's this
guy? You and Tommy and Sean Gabbert. Justin don't want to get out of the house. He might be able to do it.
I'll try to get him to do it. This is hard to get to Justin to do something like this, but I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll see everybody this weekend. Happy Valentine's Day and happy President's Day. We'll be back next week. Probably a little late start time. I'm going to be a little late that day, but we'll make it happen.
Look for pictures of Justin's balls on the Instagram.
Didn't even think about that.
There's 100% chance. Find the killer and the nutsack. The newly dead game, Instagram takeover, coming to the Ramshead on stage. Joe, get an Instagram page for us. I want to see all your Wolfshore pics.
Done.
No, you won't. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.